Everybody, this is Pam, and you're listening to the podcast Women Who Stutter Our Stories, which can be found on the blog Make Room for the Stuttering, and it's also freely available as a download from iTunes. Today I have the privilege and excitement, actually, of welcoming back a return guest who last was on this podcast 10 years ago, in July of 2010. So I'd like to say hello to a good friend, Anita. Thanks for being here. How are you?
Hi, Pam. It's when you just told me it was 2010, I was like, oh my God, I'm getting old.
Oh my goodness. Well, I'm so happy that you're back with us today to fill us in on what's happened over the 10-year period. But to get started, would you introduce yourself formally, who you are, where you're from, and what keeps you busy?
So I am Anita Blom, and I live in Sweden. I am born Dutch, but I've been here for 33 years now. So you might say I am almost completely Swedish. I've been busy with lots of things. Last time when we spoke, I had different jobs. I was working as a teacher in school. I was working in an office, and I started my own company to raise awareness about stuttering. So I was active within the stuttering community locally, nationally, on European level, international level, traveling the world talking about stuttering. Stuttering is well, it's my mission to talk about it and to get people to understand what it's like to stutter, and to see us as capable human beings, but also to get them to understand that we do need a little help, and that little help is crucial. So that's been my crusade Well, since I was 27, so I've been doing this for many, many years, but I love it.
And you're very good at it. You are a very wonderful spokeswoman for the stuttering community, for both young people and more mature people. We get a lot out of learning from you and your experiences. One of the reasons why I was eager to ask you to come as a return guest is that you have been very, very active in the stuttering community over the last year. All listeners know that 2020 has been a brutal year, but it also opened up a lot of opportunities for people who stutter to interact more with people who stutter. Would you agree?
Definitely. 2020 has been a very, very strange year, and I just told you, like, all the things that I did for 10 years ago. Well, 7 years ago, I got an illness. It's called MECFS, or myalgic encephalomyelitis, and I don't stutter on that. I don't know why. I don't. Also called chronic fatigue syndrome. So I had to cut down loads and loads of things. Traveling is really, really hard. I cannot work. There are lots of things that became harder. And then 2020 came, and suddenly the whole world comes into my living room, into my bedroom. So suddenly I can meet people from my chair, from my bed. I can like follow Zoom in my pajamas. I've been to Australia, I've been to Canada, I've been to the US presentations, and I'm doing it from my home. I go to lots of Zooms for adults who stutter, women who stutter, young people who stutter, children who stutter. Suddenly I meet all these amazing people, and they give me so much eagerness how should I say, as we can reach out now to so many more people. Suddenly things change, and you can see that there are so many more Zoom groups now. There are presentations now of both world famous people who stutter, SLPs, therapists, and normal people like us, children. You can now watch them and listen to them online. You can reach out to them. It's been an amazing year, I must say.
And I've seen some posts of yours on social media where you had two interviews last week. You have two interviews coming up this week. You're talking to this group and that group. And sometimes, honestly, I look at that stuff and I'm like, how does she do that all? You know, where did she find the time to do all that? Have you found that just being able to do things via video chat just makes it easier for you to do all that?
Yeah, it does, because before 2020, then you had to travel. So it takes a lot of time, a lot of money, a lot of energy. Now you can do it now you can do it between dinner and doing the dishes, so to say. And also when I'm not feeling well, I can like rest the whole day, do my thing, and then rest again. So I can use the time of not traveling, of not having to go to places, and prepare. I can now do it from my chair, and that's amazing. The backside is that with all these Zoom meetings, today it is a little bit less because I've been resting a lot today, but my stutter is through the roof. I have been stuttering so much on every word, sometimes on every syllable of a word, and it's been tough. I don't mind that I stutter, but it is physically tough. I mean, I get tired. I get very, very stressed in my neck, in my shoulders. When I stutter a lot, I get hiccups, and I'm just stuttering is exhausting, and especially when you are on Zoom, and I can only imagine these children who are homeschooled now. And suddenly when you talk to your teacher or your classmates, normally you can like hide a little bit, hide behind the students. You can like raise your hand and not really, really be there. But now through Zoom, as soon as you open your mouth, your picture is there, full screen. Everybody sees you. Everybody hears you. The slightest little stumble or repetition or whatever sound you make, suddenly you are there in the picture. So Zoom is amazing, but it's also a horror.
Yeah, I've heard the expression Zoom fatigue a lot over these last months, you know, not only with children, like, but even adults who have, you know, still did their jobs, but they're doing working from home. And sometimes, you know, as in students, you're on a video chat for eight hours, which, you know, it is very difficult. We're not used to staring at people's eyes on a computer in a little box and, you know, trying to keep up with, well, where do I need to be so that I'm making eye contact with that person? So yeah, it can be very, very fatiguing to try to do this. I actually only do at most 2 Zoom sessions a day. And some days none, because as you noted, you sometimes just have to take a break. It's because it's not normal conversation. You know, it's staring at a screen and that itself can be very tiring. But I want to just jump back to something that you said. You indicated that you're stuttering more and like almost on every syllable. What do you contribute that to?
I'm not really sure. I've been trying to ask people, because some people say it's because you don't talk as much now. So when you talk, it's like, well, you don't have the usual training when you talk a lot. So when you talk, suddenly it's like harder. It's like when you have been jogging every day and then suddenly you stop, and every time you start again, that it's harder. That could be it. I don't know if it's the thing. Yes, you see people, but it's not like a direct, yeah, something is missing in the conversation. Mm-hmm. It's like it's not as personal. Of course you see people, but somehow you don't feel people. Right. It's a bit hard to explain, and that's my own theory, because when I talk to people around me, well, so many people, that's one. I don't stutter as much as I do, and the longer I Zoom, the more I stutter.
Hmm. So I thought you mentioned does it have anything to do with how you're sitting or where you're sitting? Or, you know, like I find, like right now I'm sitting at my dining room table in a straight back chair, so that I'm like very, very up and poised. And, you know, because I think if I sat anywhere else doing Zooms, I'd get too comfortable and I would like lose the flavor or importance of what I'm doing. Do you feel that some of that is happening with you as well?
Definitely. I have this very, very comfy chair. I can lean back, I can have my legs up, and it's very nice, but my speech goes down the drain if I Zoom while leaning backwards. So if I know that I have to talk a lot, I have to sit up. I cannot even lean forward. I really have to sit up. And I don't know if it's a physical thing or a mental thing or both, because somehow when I sit up, I go into this speech mode, where I think more about my posture, about my breathing, about how I get my message forward. I use my hands more, and when I'm lying down or leaning forward backwards, then I don't use that. And I don't know if it's the physical part or the mental part, but it works better when I'm really sitting up. So
yeah, and you just said something too that I guess comes as a surprise to me. You mentioned that you're thinking about your breathing and, you know, what you're gonna say and what words you're gonna choose. I don't do that anymore. I used to think about speaking before I spoke to try to make sure that I might stutter less. So maybe I misinterpreted you, but I guess that kind of surprises me that you still think about speaking before you speak. Can you just talk a little bit more about that?
Normally I couldn't care less, but this is like when it's on Zoom, when it's on YouTube, when it's on the internet, I am more conscious about how I speak and what I'm saying. So there I'm thinking a bit more because it's going online and everybody hears it, everybody sees it. So then I'm more conscious. But when I'm just speaking with people, I don't even think of my stutter.
Yeah, because like when you're doing something stuttering related, you're supposed to stutter, right? So so I guess I can understand, like, you know, both sides of the coin. But, you know, like I said, I just don't do that anymore. It takes up too much time and energy to worry about how I might sound somewhere on the internet. And for me, it's like I've gone through two complete stages. Like I went from excessively covert to now being open and for the most part to now like just having forgotten about that period and just speaking, you know. And if it's with a stutter, so be it, you know. So I mean, there's just like these two phases, and they're completely different from each other. But at the same time, I think I've landed in a good space with, you know, where I'm at with my stuttering, because it just is at this point.
Exactly. And your journey has been amazing, just to move from a person who is hiding to a person who is out there, who is raising awareness, stuttering in public. That's an amazing journey, and that's why I love your pods, because most people have heard somebody who stutters, but very few people have heard somebody who stutters but who doesn't stutter openly. Most people think that when a person stutters, it sounds like this. Most people, they have not met somebody who stutters really, really, really much, where you cannot say your words. You cannot say hi because your hi is just... So they're like... So they think it is someone nasty on the phone. Mm-hmm. You cannot say your name. That it is really, really tough. But they haven't heard people who are covert, because mm-hmm. mostly you don't notice it.
Right.
So your journey has been way bigger than mine has been. Mm-hmm. And I think the fact that I think about my speech more now is because my stutter has been a lot. These last few weeks, when I'm tired, then I stutter more. So when I'm doing all these things, then I stutter more, and my stutter has been really, really tough. So my physical, I get much more tired. I even get more tics. So mm-hmm. so I'm not really, really trying to stutter less. I am trying to breathe better for my own sake. I'm trying to stutter less for my own sake, because it makes me so dead tired.
Yeah. Yeah. And you know, I think you're right with the point that you made that, you know, most people have met somebody who stutters, but they may have misconceptions about what stuttering is. But in this case, doing this podcast exclusively for women who stutter, I do believe that there are women around the world that have never heard somebody like them talk openly, because we're women and we're in the minority of the minority. So, you know, I think there's lots of women out there that, you know, feel compelled to hide their stuttering because they feel so isolated in not having had an opportunity to meet other women who do stutter and do so openly. So I'm always so thrilled when, you know, I invite people to come on the show and they accept. Because I just feel like now it's like a calling to, you know, let people around the world know that it's okay to stutter, because they're hearing us doing it. Does that make sense?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Because there is a Swedish researcher. She is doing research on women who stutter, women and girls who stutter, and she's not ready yet, but she has already noticed that girls who stutter perceive their stuttering in a different way, and they are perceived in a different way than boys who stutter. And she has done this in interview for several years now. She has been interviewing many, many girls, many boys, many men, many, many women. So I'm really looking forward to her research, because there is a difference. Not just to us, but also how others see us. Mm-hmm. So I think this is major. This is a really, really good breakthrough. And I'm happy when I hear, like, there is this women association in India now. It's for solely women who stutter. And that's amazing. Mm-hmm. There are now chat groups for women who stutter, because we feel things differently. Stuttering is connected to your well-being. It's connected to your physical being, to your mental being. Mm-hmm. And we women have different bodies. We have different minds than the men. So So we are different. So I'm so happy that there is finally research going on, because this can also be very, very important for therapy. Mm-hmm. So you might need to treat boys differently than you treat girls. It's like going back to seatbelts in cars. They are made for men. Well, mm-hmm. women are shorter, so they should be lower. I mean, we are different, and I'm very happy that we are slowly showing ourselves that we are talking more about stuttering, because there are even people who stutter who don't know that there are women who stutter.
Right.
So we are getting there slowly, but we're getting there.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting about the woman doing some research. Refer her to this podcast, because I believe that this is still the only podcast exclusively for women who stutter. And because I've had people guesting from 40 different countries, it's very international, and it drives the point home of what you just said. It is different for women who stutter, because we already have the societal confines, right? Like, society has labeled us as the inferior sex. Society has labeled us as nurturers, as caretakers. So when we try to fill those roles and we stutter, sometimes in that role perception, we're considered having failed, and so I think that is a heavy burden for women who stutter to carry, particularly if they are trying to hide the fact that they stutter to fit into the societal, pictures of who we are as women.
That is true. I remember going to my daughter's what do you call that? When you have these parent meetings, PTA meetings?
Yes.
So you come to the school and you are in this group of parents. And firstly, you are a woman, and mostly men talk first and most. And you are a woman who stutters. So my first meeting, I was really, really scared. I was thinking about my speech a lot. I promised myself not to speak. But then suddenly there came some issues which were very, very important to my daughter. And then suddenly it was not the woman who stutters, but it was mom speaking. And I spoke up, and when I was interrupted by some other dads, then I said, "Well, excuse me, this is my daughter, and I speak for her sake, and she's born it, and I'm not gonna accept that." So I really spoke up and I stuttered, and suddenly I realized also there I'm not just a person who stutters. I'm not even a woman who stutters. Here, I am a mom. And you better listen, because I'm going to fight for my child. Mm-hmm. So after that time, I didn't let people interrupt me. But I so remember that first time when I felt so little being a woman and being a woman who stutters.
Yeah, it's definitely a male-oriented society still, even though we're in 2021, it's that is still you know, the ceiling that we need to get to even have equality with men. And I think that's still a very, very, very long, long way off, right?
But there is another thing that I absolutely love with 2020. We are speaking up more, but there are also children speaking up more. Children are now online. They are on these Zooms. We had this children chat for a few days ago, and they were interviewing us adults. Mm-hmm. They were saying, we don't want 1 hour, we want 2 hours. There's this kid who is 10 year old, who is now the chair of the youth group. When you see organizations for young people who stutter, like Friends, when you have youth organizations now growing bigger, Stanley and others, they started with some young people saying, I'm not gonna be quiet anymore, I'm gonna speak up, and they start to organize themselves and thanks to 2020, as we now can meet through Zoom, so we don't go to these camps, but we meet here. Mm-hmm. And now they are talking, they are playing online games, that there are lots of new servers now for people who stutter. Suddenly we don't have to go to that meeting and meet other people. We can meet people in our homes, and I really noticed that especially children and young people who are online, they are now talking, they are now raising their voices, and it makes me so happy to see that.
Yeah, because I know, you know, helping children who stutter has been a passion of yours for as long as I've known you, and I first met you in 2008 at the NSA conference, where you were a keynote speaker. And even then, I remember, you know, you sharing with us both verbally and through action how important it is for adults to be good role models for children who stutter. And I believe from what you just said that it's still a passion of yours today.
It is. It is very, very much so. And I was 27 until I knew there were others. So my whole youth, I was trying to please others, trying not to stutter, because stuttering was wrong and it shouldn't be shown. It should be cured, because everybody was upset by my stutter. I was not seen as me. I was seen as the girl who stutters and who needs to stop. And that literally almost killed me. So I just said, well, no more. This is not gonna happen on my watch. So when I still meet parents, I met people who started for the first time in 1992, so you can guess my age if you do the math. And now we are in 2021, and I still meet people who think stuttering should be gone. I meet parents who are desperate, who will go through hell. They will try any medication, any drugs for their child to not stutter. And I'm like, stop it right here. Your child stutters. So Why do you feel that your child needs secure? Make help your child to have a place where it's safe, where it can talk. Who needs to be cured? Is it the child, or is it grandma, or the teacher, or the sibling? They all need to help the child who stutters. I mean, when you have a child who is deaf, would you like cure that child, or would you teach people around the child sign language? So you can do it in so many ways. Mm-hmm. And there are still therapists who treat children by counting the stuttered syllables. And I'm like, this is 2021. Are we still there? don't we get it now? That's when you do that, then you silence children. And when you silence them, they don't stutter. Hear, hear, the therapy works. So constantly we need to tell people stuttering is okay. Yes, stuttering is tough, and you meet a lot of tough situations, but your child is okay. It just stutters. So let your child speak. The first thing a child should learn is it's okay to speak, no matter how I speak. And there I feel I've been talking about this for so many years, and somehow we are still there. It's not as much as it was, and there are speech therapists now who are absolutely amazing, and the other ones are getting less, but they are still there. So that's why we adults need to keep on talking and to pave the way for these kids and be their role models and tell them, I stutter and I am okay. I have a job. I am married. I have children and I travel the world thanks to my stutter. And we have the International Stutter Awareness Day. And on that day, I can eat as much cake and ice cream as I want, because it's my day. And we are the coolest. Children need to hear that. So as long as they want to hear me, I'll keep on saying it until they say it by themselves. That's my goal.
Yeah, yeah. Well, you're certainly loud and proud about that. And, you know, I truly hope that, you know, going forward in 2021 and beyond, that more and more adults who stutter realize that they should join you and us and you know, show by action that it is okay, and that it's just a difference, not a defect, you know. And I think more and more people are coming along to realize that we're not broken, we don't need to be fixed, we just need to be heard. And that, you know, it'll be a beautiful day when we see that is the case with children who stutter, who grow up to be, you know, young adults who stutter and are okay with it. One last question, because we're kind of like in wind down mode now. Do you think that once the pandemic subsides and we're able to do in-person activities again, do you think we should continue meeting with people online? You know, keep this format, or just, you know, go back to the way we were?
A big yes to keep this going, because before, when you stutter and you are looking for your peers, for other people who get it, then you sometimes go to this local meeting and you meet some people. And now it's like dang, you can meet hundreds of people online. You can learn so much online. You can listen to the best therapists. You can get therapy online. You can learn from researchers. You can like meet people like you. You can meet one-on-one. You can meet 1 on 50. Mm-hmm. And suddenly the world opens and you learn so much, not just from your people in your group, but if you go online, you meet people from all parts of the world, and they have different cultures, and they have different ways of dealing with stuttering. They have different challenges. Mm-hmm. And you learn so much from these people, and you can learn and you can help, and it's just, now we have this big melting pot. And when you see this international research conference, you have people from all over the world. And instead of having to go to these meetings, it costs a lot of money.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
So if you go there, it is a lot of fun. You can finally hug again. You can finally meet people. You can feel them. You can touch them. You can have an all-nighter at a bar. That's absolutely amazing. But there are people who cannot do that. It takes traveling. When you have children, you might not be able to leave them. You might not have the money. Now we can have people from less fortunate countries. They can now go to these meetings. They can get therapy. Suddenly they are one of us. So I really hope that we can have physical meetings again, but maybe put a computer somewhere so that those who cannot come, they can still follow. So this is now, this has become so much more inclusive, and again also for women, because women mostly are the caretakers of their children when there is a divorce. It's not so easy to go to these meetings and find someone to take care of your children several days. Not every single mom can afford it. So also, again, from a female angle, I would absolutely love to keep this going. So to have this meeting, but to also hopefully at the same time, so people can follow from home, and then in the evenings in the bar, put some iPads on the bar counter, so you can chat with some people from your home, people who are there. This has really, really bloomed, and I really hope that it will stay, because this unites people more than ever before.
Mm-hmm. I so agree with you, and you use the word inclusive, and you know that's essentially what it's all about, to include as many people, men, women, children who stutter, include people. So that, you know, all of us who stutter feel like we truly have a voice that should be listened to. Anita, it was such a great pleasure to have you come back on this podcast Thank you for sharing and for pointing out some of the lessons that we've learned that are okay from this horrible year that is behind us now. You're really a treasure to the stuttering community. So thank you for being here today.
Thanks for having me. It is an honor because what you do is giving so much heart to especially women who stutter. You make women talk, and that's so important. So thankful. So
thank you.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah. Thank you. And this has been Women Who Stutter: Our Stories.